Good morning and welcome to our service here on Sunday morning. I'm so glad you could join us live, or if you're watching this later in the week, bless you and thank you for taking the time, as it's important that as church, even though we're scattered, that we invest in connecting with one another. And this on a Sunday morning is a great expression of that. So thank you for joining us here this Sunday. Do, if you have a prayer request, a number of people already have, let's get into the habit of putting a little comment up. And then at the end of the service, I'll draw them all together as a way of just collectively praying for our fellowship at this time. So please do write a comment and then we'll gather them in at the end. If you've got young children with you and you haven't already downloaded the kids material, it's on our website, and please do print it off. Gives them something to do when maybe it gets a little bit boring for them watching the telly. So please do access that this morning. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you after the service. It's great how many people watch this and then join us on Zoom, where we can have a little bit more of an intimate conversation. So please do join us. All the details are on Not the Link. But also, if you would like to join us and you haven't done it before, put a comment up and we'll send you the link so that you can join us this morning. This evening, Bismarck continues to host our Sunday evening prayer meeting. This week, we're looking at praying for those within the care system. So I think Maria and Lawrence, both who work in nursing homes, are going to be leading our time this evening. So thank you, Bismarck, for hosting that. That's at 8 o'clock this evening. And then this Tuesday, Diana and Suzanne are going to be leading our prayer reflective time, really. I think that's what we'll call it. It's called A Place to Be Still, where they'll be leading some meditations and some reflections. So same again, the details are on their Facebook. There's a post there with all the details if you'd like to come along on Tuesday and be part of that. I'd love to pray for us before Charlotte opens our time of worship. So let's pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you for technology. I thank you for the work that goes in so that we can be together on Sunday morning. Thank you for all the little connections that go on throughout our week that are all expressions of church, all expressions of our fellowship. But Lord God, as we come to this moment now, I pray that you would speak to us, give us clarity, help us to be changed and transformed through your scripture and through your Spirit's presence. Proud of these things in your precious name. Amen. Charlotte's going to lead us in Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you, Charlotte.
Good morning, everyone.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, it's time to sing.
He aids us against the enemy.
Thank you, Charlotte. And if you are wondering who else was singing that, I think it's Mark and Carol Johnson as well. And thank you also to David Basington, who spends not an inconsiderable amount of time linking the words to the songs every week. So we appreciate you, David, and your time as well. I had a very frank and honest conversation with someone this week, and that's Richard Renouf, who shared some of his unique challenges and then some of his blessings. Then he's going to lead us in a time of prayer. So we're going to listen to that interview now.
Well, good morning, and it's good to have this opportunity to have a chat with Richard Renouf, who's been a long-standing member of our church. So, Richard, over this period of lockdown, what's been the biggest challenge that you've faced?
Hi, Martin. Well, faced a number of challenges, but I think, if I'm honest, my biggest is probably my lockdown circumstances. I think there's quite a number of folk in the church know that last year Paula and I got divorced, but we're still living under the same roof, and we were hoping to get some kind of settlement, but lockdown has put a stop to that. So we've been in lockdown, and I think it's probably not unfair to say I've been in a house where actually Paula would wish I really wasn't here. So I've had to negotiate you know, that relationship. We've got the children here, which has helped, but you know, certainly is a big challenge to live with somebody who really, you know, the relationship is over, and she would rather I was somewhere else. That's been very difficult when we've both been under the same roof and trying to negotiate with that.
Well, Richard, it's appreciate your honesty, and I think what you've shared there, people can understand and resonate the challenges, you know, specific challenges that you face with that. So thank you for sharing that with us. And what's been, that's been a real big challenge, and yeah, I don't want to downplay that, but what's been something of a blessing that you've experienced over this time as well?
Well, I think it's been a great time of growing spiritually and personally. So probably the biggest thing for me, one of the things that I often do is go to other churches to preach. And during lockdown, quite a few of the smaller churches that I've had links with over the past have been, or I've been preparing videos every week of a talk and sending it out to people in those churches where they can't live stream, or they don't know how to live stream, or they're too small in number to do anything formal. So the reality is, some Sundays over lockdown, I've been preaching to three or four churches all at the same time while I've been watching the live stream from our own church. But it's not so much the you know, the grandeur of being used by so many churches. It's actually the discipline of each week sitting down, going systematically through, well, I started through the book of Nehemiah, and then more recently we've been looking at Acts together. And I'm about to record one for this coming Sunday. But actually, that discipline of having a reason to look at God's word and to study it, try and understand it so I can explain it to others, that's been a real blessing.
Oh, I appreciate you sharing that. And it's great that you've been able to use technology that way. And that's yeah, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Well, we'd love for you to pray for us as a church. So I'll let you just lead us in a time of prayer now.
Thanks, Martin. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been able to do so much ourselves as a church online during this lockdown time. But we recognize that there are many churches who haven't been able to make this way, and many individuals who haven't been able to access online things. We do pray that you would be with all those who love you, and that even if they haven't been able to access online things, that they would still have been able to grow in you. Lord, as lockdown starts to lift and we start as a church to consider the next steps towards a more normal life, or what we expect to be a more normal life, we pray that you give us great wisdom. We pray for those in places like Leicester where there are spikes in cases, and in some of the other countries in the world where coronavirus doesn't seem to be receding. We pray that you would help us to use our freedom wisely. We pray especially for the church in China at the moment, facing increasing persecution, which doesn't seem to be making too much of headline news. Lord, we pray for the believers there, that they would stand firm in you, and that you would give them strength and courage, no matter what difficulties they face. And finally, Lord, we pray for our contacts in Romania at the Centre of Hope. And we ask, Lord, that as their work is restricted by the coronavirus, that you would still help them to share the love of Christ to those around them. Lord, we bring all these things and ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Richard. We really appreciate you joining us this morning, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you, Richard. We love you very much, and we'll pray for you this day. So thank you for being willing to share with us this morning. Now, we're going to join Diana and Clive, who are going to share something on the same theme as I'll be sharing in a few moments. So let's hand over to Diana and Clive this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be joining you today for our time of praise and worship together. But we're not really together. We're all apart in separate places. Well, that is true. But right now, at the very moment that this is being transmitted, people are gathered in their homes to watch and to be part of a gathered community of church. Clive, are you listening to me? You seem a bit distracted. You are distracted. What's the problem? It's cake. I should have known that your problem would involve cake. Everything seems to be about cake with you these days. It's not always, but it is today. Okay, so what is it today? You spy cake. What is spy cake? Not spy cake. You can see cake. Oh, you spy cake. That's what you said. It is what you said. So where is this cake? Oh, you mean that cake. Look how lonely it looks on that plate. Lonely? Yes, it's all on its own. All the others have gone. I think that's because you've eaten them all. They were very delicious. And this one looks delicious too. It smells good as well. It does smell good. Perhaps we should just enjoy looking at it and smelling it and admiring it. But it's sad. Why is it sad? Because it's on its own. It misses all its friends, the ones you've already eaten. But if you eat this one, it won't be lonely anymore. No, it won't be anymore. It will be back with its friends in your tummy, and they will be all together. Do you know, I think that's a bit like church gathering together. How is cake like church? Well, everyone is at home on their own, or maybe with their immediate family, but perhaps they feel a bit lonely, missing their friends. Like the cake. Yeah. But when we gather together like this over the internet, we are one body in Jesus. His love binds us together, even though we are apart. And when we believe in Jesus and ask him to come and live in our lives and tell him that we love him, he comes to live in us by his Spirit. So even when we are on our own, we are never alone. He is always with us, and together in him, we are one. Does Jesus live in me? Yes, he does. He in me and I in him. Is Jesus in the cake? No. So you could eat it and then it would be one in you. Well, you could eat it afterwards, but we need to say goodbye now. Goodbye to all our friends, gathered and scattered. And may you all know the presence of Jesus with you, today and always, wherever you are. And know that in him, you are never alone. So goodbye. See you next time. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Diana and Clive, and we appreciate your reflections there. We're going to talk a little bit about what they've talked about, less about cake and more about some other things. But I thought it would be good this week. I've kind of entitled it Walking Alone Together. So this idea that our walk with God is a personal walk, but also a corporate walk. We walk by ourselves, I personally walk with God, but also join with one another. And when we think of our walk with God, there are these two elements, the personal and the collective. And it's been a challenge that we can't meet collectively over these months. But as we think about those two things, actually we've endeavoured as a church to connect with each other. That's why we've done the live stream, and that's why we've done other things. Because actually we realise that it's not just about us walking by ourselves with God, actually being together and sharing together is a major part of our walk with God. They're the two sides of the same coin, the personal and the collective. You can't have one without the other. This duality is evident in Scripture, from God walking with Abraham in the garden to then realizing that he couldn't be on his own. So God gave Adam a companion. We have the words of Leviticus, where God says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. This was the covenant promise really early on. I will walk with you personally and be your God, and you collectively will be my people. God walked with Israel, the chosen nation, but it wasn't always a straightforward relationship. If you read the Old Testament, you can see that. We learn that through certainly the Old Testament, that Israel couldn't uphold their end of the bargain. God was always just and loving, even if we find some of that scripture really hard to understand. But his nation couldn't stay faithful. Israel always seemed to fail at walking with God. They couldn't do it. And time again, they made mistakes and fell down, and God was gracious with them. Then we see from the footsteps of Jesus walking on this earth to the embryo of the early church in the book of Acts, God's people were asked to walk with God alone and together. who are fundamental characteristics of our relationship with God, that we have a personal one and a collective one. We see from Jesus that he lived in community with his disciples, but he'd often retreat to be alone with God. He needed both in his life, and so do we. We need a personal walk with God, and we need a fellowship to walk with. I want to start by thinking about our personal walk with God. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not checking in if you've done your quiet time or done your Bible in a year. That's not what I'm really interested in. I'm talking about, do you include God in your everyday? Do you relate your work and your home life to God? Does God get a look in when we come to making decisions in our lives? Do we wrestle, cry, shout, laugh with God in our everyday experience? That's what walking with God is about. Because that's the way of discipleship. It's the failing and the getting up. James talks about submitting ourselves to God. Paul in the book of Colossians talks about, therefore, as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We are to walk this world with God. If also, like it talks about in 1 John, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We are to walk as Jesus walked in this life. That means personally working out how we're to keep in step with the Spirit, how we're to live and have this personal relationship with God. Now, you can't pay me to do that for you. That's on you. That's a personal thing. It's only ever going to be your responsibility. Also, we don't want to fall into the challenge of comparing ourselves to the image of other people. It's not a competition. It's not about who can achieve the most or do the most. It's about a daily walk with God, a personal daily walk with God. You see, God lavished his love on his people, and we're walking with the creator of the universe, who scripture teaches us loves his creation, ultimately loves them to death. This is the lonely part of our walk often, because often our walk with God can be met with silence and frustration and doubt and lack of faith. It's where our fears and our demons battle with our faith in God. Now, over this time, maybe you felt that personally, that you've had to battle some demons because there's not enough distractions around. Maybe you've been on some dark journeys in this time. Maybe you've skated over everything. You haven't had the big highs and lows. I think maybe there's equal amounts in both camps there. While just bringing this little bit of how we walk with God alone to a conclusion, I want us to read through Psalm 139. I'm going to read it and use it as a little meditation. Now, some of this language you need to appreciate. It was written by, we think, by David. particular battles and cultural perspectives on it, but I think the broad understanding of what comes across in Psalm 139 is still relevant to us. So I'm going to slowly read through, and I would encourage you to take this as a moment of quiet and reflection. So Psalm 139. You search me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, and the night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. And to finish, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
I think there David expressed some of this personal relationship with a creator God who knows us and knows every part of us and who still wants us to walk with him in our lives. I want to move on from the walking alone to the walking together. It's what, if we think about, this building was made for. It's why the bricks were put together. As we can't be in here personally, it's a little bit harder as we're scattered, we're unable to gather together. And if this time has taught us anything, it's the enduring value us humans put on physical contact with each other, being in the same room as one another. It's amazing to see how, despite all of these challenges, we've, I think, had thousands of little connections over these months, from our Sunday service to phone calls to letters to conversations in the garden. Our actions over the last few months show us, or show everyone, how much we value and how much value we put on being together. That's why we've worked so hard at it, because we value these connections. We're not to walk alone, we're to walk together. One of the ways that we can grow in our love for God and each other is more than just having little conversations with each other. It's more than just phone calls, isn't it? That's not really walking together, it's connecting in, and it's really valuable and special, and we could continue to do that. But there's a challenge that we're to walk together. That's more than just checking in on each other. That's journeying with other people. I think one of the best expressions of our church, even before we weren't allowed to be in this building, I think, was home groups. I think home groups are a fantastic expression of walking together. When they're working well, they can be life-giving. I wonder if you have your own experience of a life-giving small group where it really felt like you were walking together, not just checking in with each other or sharing little bits of information, but you were walking together. And there's the challenge and the question. The question is, do you share your life with other people? Do you walk with other people honestly? Honestly, do you walk with others? Not just in a chit-chatty way, but in a sharing your life with someone. You see, Jesus loved his disciples. They grew together, they changed together, they learned together. And I think I would encourage anyone to find an expression of that, whether that's a home group or a really deep personal connection with someone. It's one of the best expressions of discipleship that we have. I want us to be honest with ourselves this morning. And if I was in the church building, it'd be very easy to do this, but I'd like you to put your hand up if you honestly share your faith with someone, if you walk this, walk your journey of faith with someone, whether that's in a home group or a deep relationship. So put your hand up if that's you. Don't be embarrassed if you're the only one or if there's a number of people in the room. We'll see. I've got no idea if anyone's doing this, but it doesn't really matter. It's about you personally. Do you walk with other people? Or are you isolated and alone? I'd love to see more people in home groups over this time. And I wonder if there's one of you that didn't raise your hand. I wonder if there's a challenge there. Can you gather some people around you? We'd love to start a new home group or two home groups, even if they were over Zoom, where you could gather four or five people together. It's something I've been praying about. So maybe that's you. So if you didn't put your hand up, if you don't connect with anyone else deeply, maybe there's a challenge. Maybe you'd like to call me or send me an email and say, yeah, I'd love to gather some people together and try and create a deep fellowship with others. I'd love to hear from you. But I'm aware it's not just as simple as saying, yeah, I'll meet with some other people, because many of us have been damaged through little home groups and personal and sort of relationships. It can be really hard to find someone who we can be honest with and open up to. I'd like to encourage you not to give up, even though it's hard, and encourage you to seek ways of growing with others, even if you've been damaged in the past. Because I foundationally believe it's the best way of us journeying alone and together. Because that's what we're to do. So I'd love for you to contact me. It would be so encouraging for the church if we could get more people collectively gathering together. And I'd love to encourage you to do that this morning. So let me just pray as I finish. Lord God, we thank you for the home groups that have met in this time. We thank you for the significant relationships that we might have with ones or twos that have been a real bonus and a real growing experience. I pray for those who feel isolated this morning. We pray for some of the challenges. Maybe it's technology challenges. Maybe it's other damage in our past that means we're not willing to step forward and to start things. I pray for a boldness and a bravery. I pray for just all the growth that we can see through people gathering together. I pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, Charlotte's going to lead our closing worship with I Stand Amazed. Thank you, Charlotte.
Sweat drops of blood fall.
Charlotte, I'm just going to bring all of our prayers to a conclusion here, and then I'm going to finish with a blessing. Lord God, we pray for all the homeschoolers. We're aware of the challenges over the next few weeks. We pray for those who are really struggling with it, and the idea of more summer holiday after that is a real challenge. We pray for those who can't access stuff online. We're aware that there's a small group who, certainly in our fellowship, who find it really difficult. And I pray that you would help us as a church to know how we might provide for them and care, especially for those who can't access on a Sunday morning and throughout the week. Pray for those who have lost loved ones. Our prayers go out to Maria as we near the anniversary of Ken's passing. We pray for those who are having birthday celebrations. We know that it was June's birthday last week, and Dennis's this Tuesday. It's also David Ward's in a week's time as well, and Ariel Diamond's 16th birthday as well. And Lord God, we pray for other birthdays and ways that people have had to celebrate birthdays in strange times. We thank you for good celebrations, and we thank you for those people mentioned and others. Lord God, bind us together as a fellowship. Help us to grow together, learn together, and be changed together. I'm going to close by saying a blessing. May God the Father prepare your journey. Jesus the Son guide your footsteps. The Spirit of life strengthen your body. The three in one watch over you on every road that you may follow. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining. We look forward to connecting throughout this week and next Sunday as well. God bless.